Good evening and welcome to Salem Lutheran Church. I'm Pastor Mike Feldman. I'll be leading us this evening as we continue our Lenten sermon series entitled Eyes on Jesus. This evening as we look at the denying eyes of Peter. Words for the service will be on the screen as we go through it. I encourage you at home to repeat them, say them along with me. Also, when we get to the Apostles' Creed and the Lord's Prayer, I invite you to please join in. Worship is an interactional thing between us and God. And so even though you're not physically here, we can still worship. And so I encourage you to follow along where you can within the service. We just pray God's blessings on our service this evening as we gather to worship Him, as we look at His Word for comfort and peace in our lives. We begin our service with words from Psalm 120, 145. 25 and words from Job 19. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand. You satisfy the desires of every living creature. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for He will pluck my feet out of the net. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last He will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. My heart faints within me. Continue with our time of confession. Let us heed our Lord's call and go to Him now in repentance. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have displayed the same errors of the people who saw our Savior during His sojourn on earth. With the disciples, we have misjudged the good deeds of others and have failed to see that our Lord is pleased with the loving service of His followers. With Judas, we have betrayed our weak faith when making difficult decisions. With the closest disciples, we have preferred physical comfort over spiritual turmoil. With Peter, we have let Sunday's profession fade when Monday morning dawns. With the Jewish leaders, we have allowed our personal plans to oppose God's will. With Pilate, we have let ourselves be deceived by the world's definition of success. With the casual observers, we have not always looked beyond what our eyes can see in the sacrament. With those at Golgotha, we have at times failed to fix our eyes on Jesus, God's Lamb. With Jesus' followers, we have not always looked beyond what we see in the present moment. With the women at the tomb, we have at times let fear keep us from telling our friends about our Lord's resurrection. Our Heavenly Father, forgive us all our sins for Jesus' sake. Help us fix our eyes on our Savior each day until we follow Him to our eternal home where we shall see face to face. Amen. The Lord has been merciful to us. He sees the weaknesses of our mortal nature and forgives us for Jesus' sake. Therefore, as a called and ordained servant of Christ and by His authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Continue with our passion reading. The text for our sermon this evening comes to us from Mark 14, selected verses. And when they, those gathered in the upper room, had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even though they all fall away, I will not." And Jesus said to him, "Truly, I tell you, this very night before the rooster crows twice, you you will deny me three times. But he said emphatically, if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And they all said the same. And as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. And seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, you also were with the Nazarene, Jesus. But he denied it, saying, I neither know nor understand what you mean. And he went out into the gateway, and the rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him and began again to say to the bystanders, this man is one of them. But again he denied it. And after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter, certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean. But he began to invoke a curse upon himself and swear, I do not know this man of whom you speak. And immediately the rooster crowed a second time. And Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. And he broke down and wept. Continue now with profession of our faith as we speak together the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I invite you to join me in a word of prayer. And gracious Father, as we gather this evening, we thank you for this day and all the blessings you give. Grant us the gift of your Spirit to open our hearts and minds to hear your word and to learn from it. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing to you, my Lord, my rock, and my Redeemer. Amen. Tonight, we see Jesus in the upper room with 11 of his disciples. Yeah, maybe wondering, there's 12, right? Yeah, there is, but only 11 are here because Judas has already left to prepare for his betrayal. After Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper, after they get done singing a hymn, they head out with Jesus to the Mount of Olives. And there on the Mount of Olives, at the entrance to the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus tells them that they will all fall away. He says, strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Of course, the proud spokesman of the group, Peter, thought, he's exempt from this, right? You know, pointing at the others, probably with a puffed up kind of chest as well. He says, even though they fall away, they all fall away, I will not. Jesus, however, knows better. He says to Peter, truly, I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. Emphatically, Peter's like, if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And then they, the other disciples, all said the same. They all said the same. You see, not just Peter, but all the disciples tried to exempt themselves from Jesus' saying. They all denied that they would fall away from Jesus. When you think about this, really think about it, this was rather a foolish thing for them to do. And here's why. They are essentially denying the words of Jesus, which means that they are denying the inspired and inerrant, without error, word of God recorded by a prophet long ago. You've probably heard the song, Lion Eyes, written, sung by the Eagles. If you haven't, take some time later this evening or sometime and listen to it. It's a classic. The point of the song, though, is that even though you try to disguise your intent with a smile, just like the young girl in the song does, it's not enough. That smile is not enough to hide lying eyes. If our eyes, if they give away lies to one another, then how much more can the omniscient, the all-knowing Lord Jesus see through the lying and denying eyes, not just of his disciples there at the garden, but his disciples of all time and all places? What was in the eyes of the disciples as they looked upon Jesus, predicting that they're going to fall away from him? Perhaps the first thing that's in their eyes is this look of horror at this awful prospect that they would actually be falling away from him. And then maybe after that, a look of disbelief, like, really? As they try to process Jesus' saying and begin to form some kind of defense for him. And then finally, they might have this slightly crazed look of a religious fanatic who thinks that he can keep the vows of God simply by his own willpower. You see, the disciples, their eyes weren't really seeing Jesus. They weren't letting the truth of his word sink into their ears. Instead, they were blinded by their own delusions. They were essentially lying to themselves as they were denying the Lord's word. The disciples were focused on their own perceptions, their own plans. They had in their mind set on the things of men rather than the things of God. And in spite of their persuasive protests that they'll never fall away from Jesus, when pressured at the betrayal of Jesus, 10 of them fall away very quickly. But then there's Peter. Peter's the one who didn't fall away so much. Peter lingers in the distance as Jesus is taken away, follows him to the palace of the chief priests. Peter, warming himself by a fire in the courtyard of the high priest, is questioned by one of his servant girls. Peter is asked, "Do you know him?" Peter denies it. Peter goes from the courtyard and moves out to the gateway, and as he does so, the rooster crows, and he's again followed by this high priest servant girl, and she tells him, "You're one of them. You're one of those Nazarenes. You're a follower of Jesus," and yet Peter again denies it. But then the bystanders that are there around him, they question Peter. And again, invoking a curse upon himself this time, Peter denies Jesus a third time. And after his third denial, Peter hears that rooster crow for the second time. He realizes the horrific thing that he has done. And he breaks down and cries. And Jesus is now truly left all alone. This is nothing new, though. Last week, we saw Jesus alone, staying awake in the garden by himself as he prayed. But like I said last week, this is the way it had to be. Jesus had to be the last one standing, the only one still making a good confession. Jesus alone had to be the one who would never deny the will of his Father, but instead humbly submit to it. Submit to the suffering and death for me, for you, for us, and for our salvation. When Jesus quoted the prophet Zechariah to his disciples outside of the Garden of Gethsemane at the entrance there, he had actually added a couple of words that I left off. Jesus said, "I will. I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered." This is a quote from the Father, from his Father, from the God of Israel himself, when he said to the Israelites in Zechariah 13, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who stands next to me. Strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered." So ask the question, Who is the man who stands next to the Lord? Well, it's none other than Jesus. Jesus is the one against whom the Father bids the sword to awaken. I will strike the shepherd, says the Father. It's just like how the one who ultimately handed over Jesus wasn't really Judas, but instead it was the Father himself. Or like we heard last week, it was the Father's will that Jesus drink the cup of his wrath all the way down to the very last drop. The Father's will. This again, just like last week, takes us back to Isaiah 53 and the Father's will to crush the Messiah, to crush his Son, so that all sinners, so you and I, would be made right in the Father's sight. Surely, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. I will strike the shepherd, said the Father. Jesus there on the witness stand of the cross was found guilty, was stricken, smitten, pierced, crushed, chastised for you, for me. He took our place under the wrath of God for the sins which you and I commit. Case closed, right? No, not even close. You know, earlier when I was focusing on the words of Jesus that he spoke to his disciples about them falling away and denying Jesus, I might have left out some good news. Actually, I did. And I did it for a good reason. I did it so that we can kind of end on these good news. After Jesus told the disciples that they would fall away, he said, "But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." After he is raised up, Jesus' words about the disciples falling away and their denial of him proved true. But even better than that, so did his prediction of his resurrection and his appearing to the disciples on Easter morning. To these denying and doubting disciples, Jesus entrusted his teachings and the baptizing of the whole world to go out and to be one nation. The teachings and the love of Jesus went out and it turned deniers of God into confessors of Jesus, into Christ followers, into little Christs, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And this is where you and I fit in. This is us. We are the little Christs. And we can look at this denial of Jesus, especially from Peter, and find an example of what it is that we are to be like, who we are to be like. You know, what happened to Peter? Peter, who denied Jesus in fashionable style. Well, a few things that we can learn from Peter. First off, Peter seemed to be the only one with some courage, as he was the only one who got close enough to be recognized at Jesus' trial. Secondly, though, you and I, we may think that, oh, we never would have denied Jesus. If I was there in Peter's shoes, I never would have done what Peter did. But let's be honest with ourselves. How many times in much less persuasive moments have we stood silently when someone spoke words contrary to what God's word says? How many opportunities have you and I had to confess the gospel of Jesus, to share Jesus to someone else, but passed it up out of fear of offending them? Another reason why Peter should be an example for us to follow. When we examine our sinfulness, we realize truly the devastation that our sin has within our lives. This is where we need to be more like Peter, more outspoken. We need to be like Peter in expressing our sorrow over what we've done wrong, how we've sinned against God and against each other. Just as Peter turned that sin over to God, we need to as well. See, when Jesus appeared to his disciples on Easter and he showed them his hands and his side, Jesus didn't chastise them. Instead, Jesus spoke forgiving words. Peace be with you. Scripture tells us that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We did that a little bit ago, and we're forgiven. Jesus did this as to Peter as he pulled him aside one morning after Easter breakfast at the Sea of Galilee. Jesus gave Peter this threefold admonition to go and to feed his sheep, which negated Peter's threefold denial. Jesus said to the forgiven and restored Peter, follow me. Follow me. And now Jesus says the same thing to you. Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the sake of the gospel will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Through your faith in Christ, you've been given a greater gift than this world can ever give. Through your faith in Christ and by what Jesus has accomplished through his life, death, and resurrection, you now have life in him, life abundant in him and in his kingdom. In him you are saved from sin, death, and hell itself. You need to no longer worry about the things of this world, but instead you can look forward. And even though things right now seem a little uncertain, you can still look forward with great anticipation to the resurrection, to the day when Christ comes again and raises these mortal bodies up from our graves, restores them to perfection, and we get to live in the perfect new world, new creation yet to come. Jesus says, come follow me. Even though this world has turmoil and troubles, it is truly a joyful journey to follow our Savior. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, now and forever. Amen. Continue now with our time to pray. Let us pray for the church around the world, ourselves and all people in their various needs. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. We pray for farmers and ranchers and those who bring food to market, that God would provide favorable weather, bountiful harvest, and relief from both drought and flood. Let us pray to the Lord. Look on them in your mercy, Heavenly Father. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. We pray for all who struggle with unemployment or underemployment, with poor living conditions or displacement from home, with personal demons or ill health. Let us pray to the Lord. Behold their turmoil, Lord Jesus, and grant them relief and hope. His lightnings light up the world. The earth sees and trembles. We pray for all people in authority over our communities and countries, all whose decisions affect the climate of the planet and the health of its inhabitants, especially as we go through this time of the virus. We pray for all who are charged to maintain justice within their borders and peace among the nations. Let us pray to the Lord. Gaze your servants, O Lord. Gaze upon your servants, O Lord. Protect and guide them, that they may serve with wisdom, compassion, and courage. Lift up my eyes from the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord. We pray for all who serve the Lord as they care for others, medical personnel and first responders, counselors and advisors, friends and neighbors, professionals and volunteers. Let us pray to the Lord. Observe how they use the gifts you have given them, O Holy Spirit, and open doors of opportunity for them so that they may rejoice together. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. For the church around the world, as clergy and lay leaders seek to proclaim the gospel and faithfully endeavor to share their faith, especially in the face of persecution, let us pray to the Lord. See their struggles, O Holy Spirit, and give them strength to persevere and grow. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is a man who takes refuge in him. We pray for the church, wherever it gathers around word and sacrament, relying on God's steadfast love and faithfulness, and looking forward to the fulfillment of all his gracious promises. Let us pray to the Lord. Watch over your church, Lord Jesus. Protect and defend us until that day we see you face to face. Into your hands, Heavenly Father, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Remember us in your kingdom, Lord, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive now the benediction of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. Pray God's blessings upon your evening and as you continue to live your lives each day to God's glory and to the love of your neighbor. Good night.